tonight, if we would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. We mentioned this morning that we would be here tonight and studying this promise of the Lord, this promise of God's sufficient grace. I always marvel when the Lord kind of changes our plans, why He does that. I had a couple folks come to me today and say, "Pastor, I don't know why God changed your message for this morning, but I'm not going to be here tonight, and that's what I really needed." And so the Lord seems to know what we have need of, and I'm always thankful for that. And I believe tonight, as we come to this portion of Scripture, we'll find more that we have need of. We all recognize that you and I have been given many responsibilities in this life. With all of those responsibilities comes the fact that one day we're going to stand and give an account before Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." As we seek to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to us, there are times before us obstacles and opposition. But those obstacles and oppositions can never be an excuse for our failure. Again, we mentioned this morning that God requires of His stewards that a man be found faithful. The Bible tells us that He has given us all that we need for life and godliness. Part of what He has given to us are these exceeding great and precious promises. Promises to which we can cling. Promises that reveal to us truth that we need in order that we be faithful in our service for the Lord. Tonight we're going to look at again another one of those promises as we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to invite you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down partway through the chapter tonight. Paul writes and says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and the revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my weakness, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and gather together again around the Word of God to consider yet again another exceeding great and precious promise found in your Word. Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, I pray tonight that as we consider that promise, that we would not simply hear it, agree with it, but Lord, that we would take that truth and set it into the recesses of our heart. That when obstacles come, when difficulties are faced, we would recognize and believe and lay hold of the wonderful truth that your grace is sufficient for me. So, Father, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps there has never been a man quite like the Apostle Paul. At least within the New Testament age, he is, in many of our minds, one of the greatest saints to have ever lived. The Lord Jesus said of John the Baptist that there was no prophet quite like him. And I think most of us would probably say there was no apostle like the Apostle Paul. He was a man that was greatly gifted and had been given many privileges that others could only dream about. Paul came from a respectable family. In Philippians chapter 3, he gives us his testimony and he reminds us that he is of the tribe of Benjamin. He could claim that he came from a respectable family. Paul had been trained in the most prestigious school of his day. Acts 22:3 tells us that he learned at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest doctors of the law of his generation. And Paul could say, I was given the greatest of educations. I had been given the greatest of privileges. I was from a good home. There was none that had such zeal as the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. As touching the law, he was blameless. And he was zealous, for he persecuted the church. He was quickly rising, we might say, the corporate ladder of Judaism. There are many believe that Paul, if he would have remained within Judaism as part of the members of the Sanhedrin, for he was young at the time of Stephen, probably would have risen to the ranks of the leader of that group. And within the realms of Judaism, there would have been none quite like Saul. He was a man that had been greatly privileged. And it just seemed that in many ways, everything just seems to fall in place in his life. And by the way, I sometimes think that as we look at our New Testament, as we read through our Bible, as we rehearse within our minds the characters of the Scripture and these men that God had so wonderfully used, we sometimes think of them only in their successes. But as we come to the Word of God, we're going to find yet a different picture that Paul's going to paint for us. See, the reality is, for most of us, we would desire the kind of life that Paul was living. Most of us rarely experience what Paul was able to experience. We desire that things go our way. We would desire to know that kind of success. We would be desiring to be so highly respected within our own fields. But I think a lot of times most of us would kind of look at our lives and we would say, I've lived more of a life of obscurity, of obstacles and opposition. Boy, I wish I could have lived the life of the Apostle Paul. Ever find yourself kind of thinking through some of the Bible characters and saying, I wish I could have lived their life? Sometimes we look and say, boy, I wish I could have lived like Abraham. Not so sure I would want to live his life. Boy, to be David, I don't know that I'd want to be a shepherd having to take on a lion and a bear. We sometimes begin to look and think, wow, what a great life it must have been. Oh, I wish I could have been Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Think about that before you say that the next time. We look at our lives and we say, boy, I just lived so much obscurity, so many obstacles, so much opposition. Nothing seems to go my way. Life is just one trial after another. We tend to become discouraged, discontent with the lot in life that we've been given. We dream of things changing and life becoming so easy and carefree. Boy, just like Paul. But you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's going to give to us a very different view of his life. He's going to share with us the lessons that helped him face the times of great trial. To many, Paul seems to have it all. Yet he, like all of us, experienced the pains and the sufferings of life. But here's the lesson that Paul learned in his life through the time of his suffering. It's the promise that you and I need in our own hearts, in our own lives, that we must draw upon. God's grace is sufficient for our every need. Paul learned the wonderful truth that God's grace is sufficient for our needs. And God comes to the Apostle Paul in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his heartaches, in the midst of his oppositions and his difficulties of life, and says, Paul, through all of it, I need you to learn that my grace is all that you need. God's grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, again, in verse 9, these words are shared with Paul. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Folks, there is the reality that you and I must learn that God is able to supply all of our needs. His grace is sufficient. As we look at this thought tonight, I want you to see, first of all, the proper perspective for God's grace. The proper perspective for God's grace. If we're going to benefit from this promise that we find, then you and I must seek to maintain a proper perspective in the midst of our circumstances. There are two basic things that I want you to pull out of this passage. We're going to begin over again in verse 1. Look at verse 1 down through verse 6. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He goes on to say, whether in the body or out of the body, he cannot tell. He knows that God knows such things. This one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, again, whether in the body, out of the body, he cannot tell. How that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In those first six verses, there's a point that I want us to pull out. But in order, before we can share the point that I want you to grasp and understand, we need to back up to chapter 11. And I want you to look with me beginning in verse 23. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul writes and says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, and the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Folks, here's the thing I want you to get and understand as we begin tonight. There's a need to have a proper perspective if we're going to allow the grace of God to minister to us in time of need. First thing I want you to catch with me tonight is in burdens, don't forget God's blessings. In burdens, we cannot forget God's blessing. In chapter 11 and chapter 12, what we find revealed of the life of the Apostle Paul is that he lived a life just like you and I. He had his highs and his lows. There was good and there was bad. There were blessings and there was evil. There were those that loved him and those that hated him. His life was just like a roller coaster life that you and I live. There are highs and lows. There are mountaintops and there are valleys. But in the burdens, we cannot forget the blessings of God. Paul could say, I have suffered, and folks, I think he could probably say rightly, in his generation, I've suffered above all. It's quite a list that he gives us in chapter 11. But Paul says, I've also received some of the greatest blessings. Paul was able to remember the good that God had done. He had been given visions and revelations, the least of which was not simply but a vision of heaven. Paul said, I have been escorted into the third heaven and I have seen things that is unlawful for a man to utter. He had been greatly blessed of Almighty God. But he had also received some of the greatest trials and persecutions of life. But in the burdens, he never forgot the blessings. And in the midst of all these revelations that Paul had received of the Lord, God said to him, there is a thorn in the flesh that you must bear. And Paul came and said, Lord, I need that removed. Lord, I need it removed. Lord, I need it removed. Three times he asked. You know what God's response was? No. No, Paul. The thorn in the flesh remained. I will not remove the thorn. That stays. Because God wanted him to learn that his grace would be sufficient for him. Paul was able to say in the book of Philippians chapter 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've been abased and I've abounded. I've had much and I've had nothing. But no matter where I am content. Beloved, when you and I face our afflictions, we cannot forget the blessings that God has given to us. Too often we focus and only see that which is negative. We struggle to see the positive. Let me put it to you in this perspective. Too often all that we can see is a glass half empty, not half full. You've heard that expression before, right? Know what we often forget about a glass that's half empty? It used to be full. You know how it usually gets half empty? We enjoyed the blessings of the cup. Then you know what we do? Well, you know, it's half empty now. We complain that it's only half empty and not full. We need a change of perspective. In the midst of our burdens, we have to remember the blessings. Paul was able to say, I have endured much, but I've been given much. In the midst of his affliction, he asked God, please remove this from me. And folks, I really believe that his desire was sincere and it was right. I believe Paul thought, if this thorn in the flesh would be removed, I could do more for God. God said no. He would allow that to remain because Paul had to learn that God's grace is enough. There's a second thing I want you to see from these verses. If we want God's blessings, then don't despise the burdens. In the burdens, don't forget the blessings. And if you want the blessings, don't despise the burdens. Look again at chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When God taught the Apostle Paul that his grace was sufficient and that the burdens were not the problem, they were an avenue to God's blessing, then Paul said, I won't despise what God brings my way. Remember, Peter had to learn a similar lesson when it came to the gospel. God had to come to Peter and say, listen, my grace for salvation is available to all mankind. Peter said, no, I don't think so. I think it's for the Jew. And God said, what I have called clean, don't you dare call unclean. And in that vision he had, God said, rise up and eat. Why? Because we can't despise that which God brings our way to be an avenue to his blessing. If we want the blessings of God, we cannot despise the burdens. We all face burdens. And in reality, we face them for many various reasons. Sometimes we face burdens because of frailty. Over time, our natural frailty causes us to suffer. Folks, we ought not be surprised by that. The older we get, sometimes more physical infirmities will come. We have a natural frailty. There are problems that we will face and that we will have to deal with in time. Sometimes we have burdens because of our own foolishness. We sin, and God chastens those whom he loves, and therefore we bring upon ourselves our own burdens. Folks, I could complain to you about an ankle that bothers me. It does. Do you know why I have a bad ankle? Confession, you ready? In ninth grade, I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing with my cousin. And in running through a field to get away from trouble that I was close to getting into, I stepped in a hole and broke my ankle for the first time. My foolishness causes me some of my frailty and my problems. We talked to our youth on Wednesday night of the principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. The old song goes, you reap what you sow, you get what you grow. Sometimes it's frailty, sometimes it's foolishness, but sometimes, folks, we suffer and we have burdens for our benefit. See, the Bible tells us that God brings trials that we might be perfected. God brought trials into Job's life that he might come forth as pure gold. James tells us that the trying of your faith worketh patience, so let it have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Peter tells us not to despise those things, because the trial of our life is for our benefit, that we might be made pure gold, that we may be more and more like Christ. Whatever the reason for the trial, we need a right perspective and desire to bring God the glory. Folks, you and I need to have a right perspective when it comes to God's grace. In our burdens, we cannot forget the blessings. And if we want God's blessings, we cannot despise the burdens, for they are the avenue to God's blessing. Paul learned that it was in his weakness that he would find God's strength. In Philippians 3, he would say, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. See, folks, the power often comes in the suffering. His grace is seen through the hardship and through the difficulty, and we can run from it, or we can find his grace to be sufficient. There's a second thought I want you to see with me tonight, and that's a proper understanding of God's grace. If we're going to benefit from the promise recorded for us, then we need to understand what God's grace is. It's been defined by many to try to help aid our understanding. It's been placed in the acrostic and defined as God's riches available at Christ's expense. Grace. God's grace can be understood simply as God's provisions for my every need. But Paul is going to teach us two basic thoughts about this grace of God for our every need. The first thing that he's going to teach us is this, that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. According to Paul's own testimony here in chapter 12, Paul has been enduring this thorn in the flesh for 14 years. I knew of man above 14 years ago. Many Bible scholars believe that for 14 years he's now been going through and enduring with this thorn in the flesh. By the way, that term thorn, that word thorn carries the idea of a stake used to torture or to inflict pain. So for 14 years, Paul has been physically suffering. And three times he says, I've approached God and I have asked him, please remove my suffering. Take the stake out. It's inflicting too much pain. But God answers again, no. Now, folks, here's what happens. We have a viewpoint that unless God answers according to my will, he is not gracious. See, there are some folks that would come and say that God was not gracious in answering Paul this way. If God was really gracious, he would have removed the thorn in the flesh. Why would God allow such affliction? Why would he allow such suffering? If God was a God of grace, he wouldn't allow Paul to suffer. Again, that's a problem with our perspective. Again, when you and I pray, we don't pray for our will to be done in heaven. We pray for his will to be done here on the earth. Yeah, folks, in our mind, we often reverse it. We would think that God is not fair. He has not been gracious. But Paul was taught by God that his grace is known in the times of affliction, and that his grace would be sufficient to carry him through. I wonder tonight if that would be your perspective in the midst of affliction, in the midst of opposition. God's grace, folks, is sufficient for you and for me. Say, Pastor, what's it mean that it's sufficient? I like this term. It's an interesting term. It literally means to be enough, to be satisfied. God's grace in your time of affliction is sufficient for you. It's enough. It's enough to satisfy. It will satisfy your need. It's enough. God has promised to us that He will meet our need. He didn't promise to take away the affliction. He has promised grace to help carry us through. And it's enough. It satisfies. So much, Paul said, I'll glory in the afflictions that I might know of the grace of Almighty God. It's sufficient. But he also says God's grace is strengthening. God's grace will strengthen us. Look at what it says in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is that which will strengthen us. See, afflictions and oppositions cause us to grow weary in well-doing. As we wait upon the Lord, He renews our strength by His grace. Folks, what would Paul have learned if God's answer to his request, remove the thorn in my flesh, was yes? See, Paul would say this in Galatians 2 and verse 20. God made it very clear through the Apostle Paul that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me, it's not I, but it's Christ living in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think there had to be people around the Apostle Paul that said things like this. Paul, how can you continue on? Why not just throw in the towel? How many times do you have to be shipwrecked? Folks, one's enough for me. Tim Merle takes me out in his boat and he crashes it. I'm never getting in another boat. I'm not. No offense to Tim, but I'm not doing it. The reality is he continued on. And folks had to say, Paul, why? You've been beaten. Haven't you done enough for God? I mean, Galatians, they got a letter. Philippians, they got a letter. The people in Ephesus got a letter. Don't worry about those poor Corinths. Quit writing to all these people. You're getting beaten for it. You're getting persecuted. Why continue on? Wouldn't it just been easier to stop? Paul said, I don't need to stop. How can you continue on? Because it's not me living my life anyway. It's Christ living in me. Folks, how can we go on and continue to serve the Lord when things don't seem to go our way? When the opposition comes, why not just quit? Isn't it just easier when you're weary to throw in the towel? That's what everyone else does. How can you do it? Folks, God's grace is sufficient, and His grace strengthens me to live that life. And as I follow that path, there is for me His blessing. Paul said, I would want no other life but then to serve the Lord. His grace is sufficient for me. I think too often in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our opposition, we spend so much time looking for explanation. Why? Lord, why? Folks, you and I don't have to have explanation. I remember years ago, after one of my surgeries, after one of my seizures, asking my mom, why does God let this happen? My mom wisely answered and said, it's not for you to ask why. It's for you to trust your God. She was right. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. See, I have a responsibility in this life, and it's not to know why. I have a responsibility to trust God, whose grace is sufficient for me. I don't need to lean to my understanding. I don't need to have understanding as to why a family lost their wife and mother at 40 years of age, friends of ours. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know the reasons why that Ron Hamilton, who wrote this hymnal along with his wife, is suffering this week because their eldest son at 34 years of age on Mother's Day, according to reports, took his own life. I don't have to know why. I don't have to understand. And too often we're looking for explanations. And as we're looking for the explanations, we are missing something that God has for us. Because while we look for explanations, God says, I am willing to exceed your expectations. My grace is sufficient for you. He is able to supply and to strengthen us for all that we need. In our weakness, He makes us strong. I'm not sure it would have been better for Paul to have that thorn removed. And I don't think it's better for us to be removed from all opposition and struggle. I've said a few times in passing to a few folks, I wouldn't mind a day, a week, or a month, maybe without a little opposition. Sometimes it feels like it just pours on constantly, but that's okay. God's grace is sufficient for us. In our weakness, He makes us strong. God promised that to Paul, and through all of his life he would know it, and he would rather glory in the infirmities to know of the wonderful grace of God within his life. How about you tonight? Are we looking simply for explanations? Lord, why? Or do we come with expectations and say simply, God, I don't understand why, but I know you can meet your need, meet my need with your wisdom. We ought to be praying the prayer the Lord Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Paul said, I will glory in the infirmities if with the infirmities comes his sustaining grace that strengthens me. Folks, you and I need that grace of God within our life. And God has promised to give it. So when the opposition comes, pull down into the recesses of your heart and lay hold to this anchor and thought. God's grace is sufficient. It's enough. It will satisfy. And in my weakness, He will make me strong. I could sit tonight and share with you countless stories of folks who through the opposition and through the affliction found the strength to carry on. And when they were willing to accept that that was God's best for them, even though they didn't understand, I've heard many of them say, I would not have traded those years of affliction because of what I learned about my God. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Folks, what God wants you and I to understand is that in it all, He promises there to be grace sufficient for our every need. And He will never fail of that promise. Let's pray together, please.